This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Alan.
What's going on?
Well, we're here.
It's Saturday morning.
It's another edition of the Outdoorsman Show.
There you are on the other side of the glass.
Exactly. It feels so odd to be back on this side. I like being on that side.
You like being over here, do you?
I like being here over on that side, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, maybe another time.
Maybe.
You know.
Maybe.
Morning, everybody. My name is Alan Ellis. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, the great outdoors, and anything else related to those topics, that's for sure. And that may involve, who knows, firearms, a little politics every now and then. You know, so.
Like last week.
A little bit. Been an interesting week.
Yes.
Let's see. Monday was 9th anniversary of Kathy's passing. I didn't mark that with any occasion or anything like that. Just kind of had a normal day. Tuesday was delivery day for the Maryland Hunting Quarterly magazine, and I found out Monday that they we broke the binding machine. You know, the covers are printed somewhere else because of the page. You know, the slick page and all that type of thing. And then the newsprint stuff's assembled in Delaware. Well, they bring the covers and the printed newsprint part together on the bindery where everything is sorted. Printing process is fascinating. Anyway, everything's sorted and put together and bam. But somewhere during the middle of the night on Monday, while they were running the magazines through the bindery, the stitcher, the cutter, whatever you want to call it, they something happened, and a knife broke on the bindery.
Ooh.
Yeah, which means that the magazines weren't being cut correctly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. The stitcher had stitchers, the staples that are in the back cover.
Okay.
It was just a little wire. Anyway, so I got a partial shipment, which was about three-quarters of a truckload on Tuesday, and headed from Dover to Salisbury to Ocean City to, well, Salisbury to Princess Anne, Ocean City to Hebron to, you know,
Vienna. Where didn't you go?
Well, the lower eastern shore portion of the run. And then, excuse me, Tuesday, that was Tuesday. Wednesday went to Hancock, Hagerstown, a few stops around Frederick and a couple in Carroll County. And then Thursday we went to, where'd I go? Oh, Southern Maryland, St. Mary's in Charles County, and visited the home of Donza Watson. Donza killed the second largest whitetail buck, killed with a shotgun or a firearm here in Maryland. Decade or so ago, the deer was 248 and some inches, big, non-typical.
Okay.
You know, yeah, got to see that mounted deer on Donza's wall, talked to the grandson. Donza had a doctor's appointment, didn't make the appointment, so that's the way it went. But that was very interesting. Also that same day, that evening or afternoon, at just about the same time, Robert Newton III, Bobby Newton, was measuring Robert Mark's Maryland black bear. This bear weighed 497 pounds, field dressed, Did you hear that, Chris? 497-pound field dress black bear.
Oh, my goodness. I was busy loading up commercials.
Yeah, I know.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, holy bear.
Yeah.
It was killed in Washington County last season, and Robert lives out there near Clear Spring. And Robert and I had some conversations, and he was happened to be on vacation. He and Bobby got together, measured that you measure a bear by the skull measurements.
I was going to say how big,
width and length. Boone and Crockett, 20 3/16, and that's on the Bucks Bears Stags Facebook page.
Wow!
Yeah, big bear.
Huge.
Big bear.
Big bear.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have three bears now in Bucks, Bears, Stags that qualified for Boone and Crockett. So pretty cool. Here in from Maryland, Boone and Crockett is the national records keeping entity that does all North American big game. And then Friday, back to Dover for another load of magazines. The order was finished, and from there to Millington, to Chestertown, to back home. And then yesterday afternoon, a very sad time. The Yellow Lab that we've had for 14 years, Maisie, went to join her other friends in the great beyond.
My condolences.
Thank you. Robin was with her at the end. I couldn't do it, but
it's tough.
It's very tough.
Extremely tough.
Very tough. But you know, Maisie and I had a conversation, kind of one way. She didn't really talk back, but
it was she was
tough.
There.
She was
as
there.
She always
oh,
has
yeah,
been.
She was there. She, you know, poor girl was. Mostly deaf, mostly blind. Very, very bad time getting around. So, tough. No question. So, and the thing is, I'm allergic. I was allergic to Maisie. I'm not allergic to many animals, but I was allergic to Maisie. I don't know if it was the dander exactly or what it was, but, you know, the eyes were, you know.
Watering and getting all... Gunsy
yeah, I mean, the tears weren't enough to wash away the, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. the allergy, my neck, you know, because I had to help get her in the, you know, lift
sure,
her in the car, lift her out
her
of the car.
And you were
yeah.
covered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, but, you know, she was always such a good-natured dog
mm-hmm.
and right to the end. So, anyway, thank you, Robin, for doing that. And the folks at Talbot Humane, were just wonderful, wonderful to deal with. Robin's friends are the administrator down there, and Patty and the crew, good folks, Talbot Humane. So, anyway, shout out to them. And shout out to Carrolltown out in Eldersburg for taking care of Maisie. You know, when we lived up here, she was out there all the time. You know, when I was out, they'd board her, they loved her, and took care of her. And saved her life years ago.
What happened?
She, I don't know if you know what a Nyla bone is. It's a chew bone for dogs supposed to be indestructible.
Maisie,
nah, nothing was indestructible. But this one was a little bit softer.
Okay.
It was one of the orange ones, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a chunk of it stuck right there at the. I don't know. Coming out of her stomach into her intestine or
okay.
somewhere right there around the bile ducts and
sure.
everything else. And very delicate surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And but after a couple of weeks, she was fine. She was a lot younger then, but
yeah.
that's probably 7-8 years ago.
Okay, so recovery time was...
Recovery time was slow, you know, but she survived
Trooper.
And thrived, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So anyway, nice memories, you know, nice memories. So 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. A couple of things if you'd like to comment on possible regulations on black drum. commercial gear for black sea bass, fish refuges at Chickamauga Creek, and charter boat decals. The regulatory proposal for each of those following these following topics has been printed in the Maryland Register. The department is seeking comments on each proposal. Scoping identifies issues, potential impacts, and reasonable alternatives on black drum, black sea bass, fish refuges, and licensing. Feedback by 11:59 p.m. August 19th. That's coming up. And then on the Maryland Register, American eel, fin fish trot lines, oyster gear line clarification, oyster harvest reserve areas, proposed regulations for those will be in the feedback by 11:59 p.m. September 3rd. So this just came out. I really didn't have time this week to dig into any of that. But if you did and would like to comment, you're welcome to do so in this public format on this program. So, boy, it's quiet. Quiet out there. People are just waking up, I think. Heard from Chuck already. He's up. Hi, Chuck. How you doing? And see if any emails came in. Nope. Well, Kohl's. And my American Express bill's ready, just saying. So I read across this week. I get a daily subscription. It's every day. It comes in the email box called the Outdoor Wire. And there's a number of wires. There's the Air Gun Wire. You might want to subscribe to that, Chris. The Outdoor Wire, the Air Gun Wire.
Oh, okay.
There's the Archery Wire. There's the Fishing Wire, the Shooting Wire, the Birding Wire, you know. But apparently South Carolina has just banned, last week, urine-based scents. Urine-based deer scents. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources released a new hunting rule last week banning urine-based scents, taking away an important hunting tool used by many successful hunters every year. Unfortunately, there's a lot of false and misleading information driving policy and regulations regarding urine-based scents being a risk for spreading CWD, chronic wasting disease. The impact of banning these products on hunters and businesses, both small and large, across the state this year will be huge. 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 This is in response by the folks at Tinks, Wildlife Research Center, Tinks Products, response to the South Carolina's recent ban on urine-based hunting lures. And we're going to talk about that. But maybe. Right now we're going to talk to Bill and Dundalk about the, I guess, the Tred Avon River. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing, right?
Hi. I'm doing good, Bill.
Good. I was down the Eastern Shore in Easton
three weeks
ago.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
And I was at somebody's house. There was a pine there.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
And they said the pine actually goes into the Tred Avon River.
Yeah,
the
Tred Avon. Yeah, you're right.
Is that how you say it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, anyway, they said they had a beaver down in the pond.
Oh, no.
And they had about a 3-inch drain plate where a pond would go into the river.
Uh-huh.
Or the DNR had to come down and move the nest out of there.
Hmm.
And then they said the pond, it's natural pond from the springs. Now, are you familiar with that part of Eastern Shore?
Easton?
Yeah, Easton. I think the route was 328 and 50.
Mm-hmm.
Is that my eye right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's where the development's at.
Oh, I see.
And they said that's where, I guess the river flows into it, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Or something.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill, I live in Easton.
Oh, okay. All right, well, good.
Yeah.
It was nice down there.
Yeah, it's a pretty place, no question.
Yeah. But I was amazed because the guy told me, he says, that's a farmer's field behind his house. And Christ, he must have, Christ, 1,000 acres, I guess.
Hmm.
And then he was telling me about the pond area is actually underground stream.
Yeah.
Comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And that.
Yeah, they have a lot of that on the shore, artesian wells and things like that.
Yeah, that's it. And the next day we see where the water went down.
Yeah.
And then he's when it gets flooded, the river flows back into that.
Yeah, that would happen.
Yeah, it was just amazing to me.
Yeah, well, you know, when you live in East Baltimore, you don't see things like that every day, do you?
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Then we went out fishing on the river.
Uh-huh.
Caught some little white perch. Was nice.
Yeah, sure.
And that. And the part we was in was only about 3 foot deep.
Yeah. Yeah, some
how,
of the...
How deep that river get, do you know?
I have no idea. No.
Oh, okay. And then it flows down to the bay, don't it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, right there from Easton right out into the Chesapeake Bay. It's amazing.
Okay, then we went over to Chop Tank River, St. Michael's. That was interesting. That town really got built up.
St. Michael's, yeah. We had dinner there last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Christ, I remember that was old fishing village.
Mm-hmm.
Way back.
Oh,
I
yeah.
You remember that too, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm old. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's nice talking to you, sir.
Nice talking to you, Bill.
You have a good one, buddy.
You too, man. Thanks. Right, thanks bye. For visiting Easton.
Thank you.
See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye. Nice place, Easton.
I've liked it every time I've driven by. It's like I wish I had more time to spend there. It's a nice little town.
Nice little town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty. Of course, mm-hmm. Anything on that side of the bridge is pretty.
Land of pleasant living, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if we ever get the equipment installed to broadcast from there, that's what we're going to do. For some reason, it's been a little bit delayed, but we'll get there. So anyway, Tinks is answering the press release by South Carolina DNR. It was stated CWD research, chronic wasting disease, conducted in Colorado, shows that mule deer were able to be infected with CWD after exposure to just the urine, feces, and saliva of infected deer. This statement is misleading and misrepresents the actual scientific finding of these studies. Many studies have attempted to transmit CWD with urine, and none have been successful in deer. Later studies in Colorado used urine from CWD-sick deer, concentrated it tenfold, and injected it directly into the brains of mice that were genetically altered to be 6 times more susceptible to the disease than deer. 1 of the 9 mice became infected. We are led to believe that urine is a risk for spreading the disease by putting a small amount from facilities that are enrolled in a program to safeguard their deer from risk of contamination on a scent wick or squirting it on the ground. When only 1 mouse became infected by injecting infected and concentrated urine into its brain, hunters are not injecting deer with urine, and the urine is coming from healthy animals and not sick ones. Pretty good argument there, if it's all true from the folks at Tinks. And let's see, Wildlife Research Center. Yeah, I'm so old, I remember when Tink actually made Tinks. Let's talk to Kent in Reisterstown. Hey, Kent, how are you, buddy?
Doing well. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, what's going on?
So I'm heading down to the Eastern Shore tonight, or this afternoon. I'm going down to, like, Chop Tank,
mm-hmm.
or Cambridge area.
Yep.
I was going for rockfish. I'm going to be fishing off not the bridge pier, but off a pier at someone's house.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so I was wondering, what kind of jig, when I go to the tackle shop, what kind of jig should I be using?
You want something you can just cast and put a piece of bloodworm or peeler on and cast out and reel in? Is that what you want?
Yeah, or artificial or live bait, whatever works best. I just want to catch some rockfish.
Yeah, well, I would get maybe, I don't know, half-ounce jig, something like that. If you're just somebody casting off a pier, you know, you're land-based, you're not in a boat, right?
Correct.
Okay, get something half-ounce or less, put a little shad on it, a little plastic shad, and if you have an opportunity to get a peeler or a bloodworm or something, that just adds a little flavor. But, I mean, just the shad will do it, and you should be able to catch a handful of them. You know, they got to be 19 inches to keep.
Yep.
You know, bigger bait, bigger fish, but I would say a half-inch jig is plenty with a maybe a 3-inch shad or twister or something like that on it. That's all you need, huh?
Half-ounce with a 3-inch shad.
Yeah, half-ounce and a 3-inch shad, that's all you need.
Awesome.
Yep. Don't spend a lot of money if you don't have to. Stop at Chesapeake Outdoors on your way down.
That's what I'll do. I went down to, 2 weeks ago, I went down to Chincoteague, went crabbing.
Yeah.
I stopped at Clyde's and let them know you sent me there.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. We can stop at Clyde's. You can stop, you know, if you get across the bridge and you want to check out Chesapeake Outdoors. Well, we're about to do a commercial for them. So, but they've got a large selection of jigs there, and they can help you. Tell them what you're doing, you know, and say I'm just going to cast off the pier. Want to, you know, I don't want a lot of muss and fuss. Just show me what to get.
Sounds awesome.
You got it.
All right.
I can't. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
See ya. Thanks for the call, Mike. On the,
how you doing there, Alan?
I'm on the Uber report. Good. How are you doing?
Well, I saw me a close call this morning.
Oh, you almost hit one?
Three.
What's that?
And the guy in front of me had the deer jump over the hood, and he jinked left, and he missed the deer by, like, a hand's breadth.
Wow.
And he was about maybe six car lengths in front of me. Of course, as soon as I saw the glimpse of the deer in his headlights, I was on the brakes. And back.
Oh, yeah, you got to be. Yeah. Where was that?
Northbound 83, just around about the 695 break left and right.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So they're real active along there at Falls Road.
Yeah.
There is deer all over that place.
Yep, no question. Yep, and the only control over there is, you know, automobile.
Well, that's their biggest deterrent.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest predators over there are cougars and jaguars.
Really?
Think about it, Mike.
There's not a lot of other predators.
Cougars and jaguars.
Oh.
He's probably too young to remember.
Good grief.
So I guess we're talking about Ford and Mercury. Okay.
All right. Wow. All right. I got you. It's okay.
And watch out for the big dogs because the Mac's coming along next.
Yeah, that's true. So, well, at least you had an interesting wildlife experience this morning. I didn't, thank God, coming up 50.
Most of the time they're on the roadside, but that guy, I guess, wanted to make a run and dash.
Yeah, that's right. That happens. You said he jumped over the hood, huh?
He jumped over the left front fender and was clearing the right front fender as the car was proceeding, and the guy immediately was steering hard left, so it was kind of a combination of him getting enough air and the car going to the left to not clip his back legs.
Right. I had one jump over my hood one time. We were back in Pennsylvania. We were spotting deer, a gang of us, and three or four of us, anyway, two couples, and we were going about, you know, down a back road and spotlight out the window, and I saw one coming off the bank and immediately just, you know, took my foot off the gas. I saw this deer coming off the bank, and when it hit the road, it jumped, and when it jumped, it cleared my hood, and first jump took it in front of the car. Right in the middle, okay? And it jumped again and cleared the right front fender of the car. That's what happened. So it jumped off the bank, boom, in front of the car, immediately leaped again and over the front fender. right front fender and the passenger side. Surprised all the passenger, that's for sure. But, yeah, it was an interesting time. And I've hit three of them, and, you know.
Real amazing athleticism sometimes.
They do. They do. Yeah. Buddy that listens to the show here, Tom, he takes videos of them, you know, jumping fences along the highways and stuff like that. And, you know, they'll walk along. They'll just walk along, and all of a sudden, whoosh, over the fence they go. Pretty amazing. You know, like no effort. So, all right, buddy. Appreciate the report.
Absolutely. Have a good day, Al.
Thanks, Mike. See you, buddy.
All right.
Bye-bye. Hello, John in Queenstown. How are you?
Doing fine. Last week, you were discussing cooking crabs.
Yeah.
Different techniques about pre-killing them and
stuff. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yep.
Yeah, and then all kinds of burner things. And some of the conversations were lacking a few points that I thought somebody would stick in there, but you ran out of time.
Well, yeah, probably somebody probably changed the subject. So, what I know about cooking crabs is on a commercial side. Now, this is the, you know, when you get them in a restaurant and stuff. Normally, they are either iced or electrocuted just prior to steaming, or they're steamed live. The danger of steaming crabs alive is that they thrash around in the steamer and lose their claws. So
right, and there's a couple other dynamics on that too. In a commercial situation, when using live steam, they do all this because they're not cooking them, or many times in the large baskets, as you see, and they're cooking them in trays.
Correct.
And there is no way to handle a lively, viable crab in a tray to train it to lay there still until the steam comes up.
Really? They can't. They're unteachable, huh?
Well, the amount of time invested in it and everything else just isn't quite worth it.
So. I see.
Yeah. So laying them out, that's the importance there. And on the less ethical side of things, a steam house operator can sort through some crabs, have some marginal ones and everything else, and not have his employees send them back or have anybody look at them and say, oh, they're all dead. I don't want those. They're not at their prime. And they can all be pre-stacked, so you can make your determinations at the beginning of, let's say, a Friday night shift or opening up the restaurant. So there are some other dynamics there that you do not have to mimic at home.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Your discussion, but, yeah, a lot of people out there want to go through all these things not understanding the why and try to replicate them at home.
Yeah, you can't do that necessarily, no.
On your home discussion, and people were talking about different ways of doing it, starting them cold, all the rest of that, you omitted a key factor, and that is what are you cooking them on? If you're cooking them on your stovetop, or a small burner, it's going to be very difficult to, one, get the proper amount of water and everything else up to boiling in a proper time period, and then once it is up to boiling, to load your crabs and then bring it back up to a quick blast of steam, which relaxes, let's say, all the crabs. They don't drop the claws, and they don't get mushy. You've got several sponsors that make the proper burners and everything else to go with a crab pot.
Yeah, we talk about that. That's the majority of people, I believe, John, that have steam crabs outside. They use the separate gas burner and the proper crab steamer. As a matter of fact, Chesapeake Outdoors, which I previously mentioned, sells a stainless steel crab steamer that's second to none, and the burners
that
to go with
beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Made right here in Maryland.
It's a beautiful burner, but no matter how beautiful the burner is, I mean the pot is, you've got to have a high BTU output burner.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks I speak to they about cooking crabs and say, oh, well, the ones we did at home were mushy or something else, and they're either trying to do it on their stovetop or some other smaller burner that's got low output BTUs.
Right.
And even if you have a high-end, fancy residential gas stove with the high output burner, if you're lucky, you're going to be between 20 and 30,000 BTUs. And the roaring burners that you buy at one of your sponsors there, those are like 10 times as much as
yeah,
that.
Of course.
It might be 100, 200, 300,000.
Right.
And so the folks that are trying to steam crabs on a lesser burner or put them in cold and then bring it up,
yeah,
not have them hot, they get mushy, they yeah, got their claws.
Yep.
And so when you start out your discussion on cooking crabs, you've got to have a roaring hot heat source underneath of there.
Sure.
Before the an intelligent situation or conversation can be had.
Yeah.
So,
well, apparently I fell down on the job on that one, John. I'm glad we have people like you out there that can bring us up to speed.
Well, I'm passionate about enjoying good Maryland crabs and good Maryland seafood. And it's a tragedy when a lot of things go awry or people get discouraged.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, here's an invitation. Here's an invitation to you. Do you have email?
I do.
Why don't you write an article for the next Maryland Loves Crabs magazine about how to properly cook crabs at home? And I'll be more than glad to run it for you.
Well, I can contribute my pointers on there too. That's for sure. But and unfortunately, in the days of that are approaching of condos, apartments, and tiny houses, they strongly discourage using those kind of burners.
Well, of course they do. They don't want the place to burn down.
Right.
You know, holiday fires primarily are caused by people trying to deep fry turkeys.
Well, which brings up another thing. There are some turkey fryer steamer combos and everything. Most of those fryer type of burners, and while it's hotter than your stove, a lot of those things are limited down, and they might be a quarter or a third
right
of what a truly high output, high BTU output burner is.
All right. Well, here's the deal, John. We've got to move to a break.
Over your fry, while frying, it's a safety issue.
Okay, John. Listen, send me an email. Introduce yourself. Then we'll talk about deep frying turkeys for the holidays and the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. We can do that. And then we can talk about the steaming of the crabs, okay?
Well, we're coming on the best part of crab season. This is when, you know, people should be enjoying their larger and more bountiful and everything. And from now until Thanksgiving is when the very, very most succulent crabs in Maryland are going to
no
be
question.
The biggest. Man.
No question. No question. So, John, I'm trying to move the conversation along. We've got other callers waiting, and we must go to a break.
Have a good one.
Email is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I look forward to hearing from you.
Good deal.
Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye. Chesapeake Outdoors. Just talking about them a couple times. Ready for bow season. You know, bow season starts September 6th. Friday after Labor Day. Compound bows and crossbows. Matthews, they carry the Vertex, the Mission crossbows, the Sub 1XR, Raven R26 and R29. Clearance sale on all Hoyt bows, and our buddy Pete can set them up for you with all the custom arrows and the bow tuning and the accessories. They also carry 10-point Excalibur, Carbon Express, Barnett, a whole bunch of crossbows. And they're ready to go. Camouflage apparel for all seasons. Thousands of accessories for bows, muzzleloaders, and firearms. Thompson Center CVA muzzleloaders. Remington shop with firearms. They've got it all. And they definitely have all the crabbing stuff, and we'll talk about that the next break. But they do have everything you need for crabbing as well. Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, Rambo bikes, Dove gear, ammos, decoys, buckets, and chairs. All Chesapeake Outdoors. Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, right there in Kent Island. And don't forget those stainless steel crab steamers. 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed.
Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
You know, I was down at Clyde's the other day, and I'm going to be going back there today to drop off the Hunting Quarterly. And I want to tell you about the Browning Firearms, getting ready for hunting season as we are. The AB3 Hunter, which is a bolt-action rifle. It's a combo gun. Comes with a scope. Comes with A-bolt rifle in a bunch of different calibers. The scope is a 4-12x40 BDC rifle scope. Comes with in a 243, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm 08, 7mm Remington mag, and 300 Win mag. So all the big game calibers that are fully capable of taking any animal in Maryland and most likely around the country. You know, mule deer, whitetail, pronghorn, antelope, moose, caribou, and all that.
Sick of deer.
Yeah, sick of deer. Where do you hear my sick of deer rig for this year?
I'm waiting.
It'll be later. And that's just one. That's just a bargain rifle that that Browning has put together as a package deal, and it's a very, very nice package deal. And then on the other side, there's the BPS pump shotgun, 410, 20, 12, and 10-gauge. Also, 12- and 20-gauge rifle barrel deer hunter models are available. Comes in camo, DuraTouch armor coating, Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity camo. The waterfowl models have the Invector Plus choke tubes with them. It's the BPS pump, bottom ejection. That's the feature. So why not check that out, too? All at Clyde Sports Shop, full-line Browning dealer. More in the next commercial about Browning. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway. Exit number 9, 410-242-6108. Everything for fishing and crabbing as well. 242-6108, 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-FISH.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hills, lived my old pappy, and he had him a still. He brewed white lightning till the sun went down. Then he'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, pappy's gone squeezing. Ooh, white lightning. Well, G-Men, T-Men, and Revenuers, too.
They all came after. Anyway, you know, moonshine is now a legal enterprise. And when we were in Tennessee last year, you know, we visited, I think, three different manufacturers right there in town. And you get the equivalent of three shots.
Hello.
Yeah, for like $5 or whatever it is, you know, you do the test, they give you all, this is our apple, and this is our cranberry, and this is our plum, and this is our firecracker, and it's like...
No, after a while, you'd be like, okay, I'm done.
That was good.
Yeah. Let's get out of here.
No. They direct you through the marketing side.
Okay. Take advantage of you.
Yeah. You got to have one of these gift bags, and you know, and there's a special three bottles for the price of two.
Yeah, buy one, get
or buy the five pack. What the heck?
That's right.
But, yeah, moonshine. Mm. I'll tell you what I did use some moonshine for. There's some firecracker moonshine. I used, we like grilled peaches.
That sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah, brown sugar, maple syrup, whatever you want to use. You put a cast iron pan, you know, a little butter. And
Got to have butter.
Add a little moonshine or a little Southern Comfort or something like that.
Yeah, it'll you know, burn off the alcohol but leave the taste. And it's wonderful.
Bill in Chestertown, thanks for calling in. How you doing, Bill?
Great. Listen to you all the time.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
I just want to make a comment on the seasoning crabs. I've steamed crabs all my life. I made them right here in King County. And we steam right on top of a regular gas stove.
Yep.
I mean, keep them up out of the water. Put a little something in your pot. Keep them out of the water, and no problem at all.
Well, you know what, Bill? It is no problem at all. And you know, the thing is, the steam is what cooks them. And it might, you know, you get the water boiling, you put the crabs in there, and you close the lid, and off you go. And 15, 20 minutes later, you're done. And your crabs are steamed, and it's all good. How long do you cook them?
Cook them a little longer. It takes a little longer than 15 minutes on top of
the stove, right?
But you lose a few claws, but
yeah,
I mean,
you're gonna eat them anyway, right?
Right.
You know where they are.
When I was younger, we used to go down East Neck Island and catch them and bring them home, steam them in a lard can. I don't know if you know what a
What a lard can is.
Yeah.
Steam them in a lard can. That's pretty funny, actually. That's great.
That's how my dad used to steam them.
That's good.
it was good, you know.
Yeah, good old days, right?
Right.
You make your own seasoning, or you buy commercial seasoning?
Make our own seasoning. I'll buy the rock salt and the Old Bay, but dry mustard powder and stuff like that. We all mix it together.
Yeah, man. I like it. All right, buddy. Appreciate that, Bill. Thank you so much.
But enjoy your show.
I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk again. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye. So we're talking about these the ban on urine-based scents in South Carolina, and Tinks is all upset about it. The folks that I remember when they bought Tinks back in the late 80s, early 90s, the Wildlife Research Center. South Carolina, there's a bunch. I'll be glad to copy this and forward it to you if you want. South Carolina wildlife officials say the scent industry is not regulated by any agency or entity, and there's no way testing or marketing requirements identifying the source of urine products. That's false. Collection facilities are regulated by state and federal departments of agriculture and wildlife agency rules and regulations related specifically to CWD and the operation of those facilities. All the source herds are 100% monitored. The Department of Agriculture required that testing is conducted before issuing the testing certifications the facilities all have and maintain. And on it goes. So the battle is on. But here's what caught my attention. There was no apparent notice or warning of this rule being passed. Multiple dealers and hunters in South Carolina have reached out to us in total surprise. Dealers have already purchased products to stock their shelves, and natural urine products have been sold for years to hunters, now only to find out it's no longer allowed to be used in their state. It was irresponsible and downright harmful for the agency to put hunting retailers, both big and small, who've already made significant investment in stocking product and hunters who rely on these products in this difficult position. Unfortunately, it's now up to the hunters in South Carolina who have needlessly lost their right to use these products. It's a right to use deer pee to attract other deer. It's their right to do that. Their right to use these products to hold DNR and legislators responsible for these new rules accountable and demand change. We encourage hunters to express your thoughts and comments to this new rule, the South Carolina DNR. To comment, visit their website, or simply email them and so forth. So, here is a case of a major manufacturer being caught allegedly unawares, okay, that DNR And the legislators of South Carolina, in secret, voted somehow to make sure that they were going to harm the hunting industry by banning urine based scents. Total surprise. All of a sudden, somebody just said, send out an email and tell them they can't do it anymore. I think this warrants further investigation. See, that's the surprise that Maryland hunters have when a new rule or regulation comes into effect. It's been through the General Assembly. It's been discussed. It's been talked about. It's public comments. There's been, you know, a whole deal made about it. And all of a sudden, oh, I didn't think we were going to do that. Well, whose responsibility is it? Isn't it yours if it's your sport? Isn't it yours if it's your lifestyle? Isn't it yours? Your responsibility to understand what's going on when it comes to rules and regulations that affect your lifestyle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very much so. In fact, even during the safety course, they said, you know, when you get your hunting license, you're going to get a book. But at the same time, too, make sure you read that book because the laws have changed since last year.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions, call the DNR.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Be proactive.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Anytime.
Chesapeake Forest Land. Chesapeake Forest Alliance is up and running. Mr. Miles, Bill Miles, has been hired, and he is actively working to try and protect the 250 clubs and the members of those clubs. If you are a member of Chesapeake, if your club leases Chesapeake Forest Lands, please get in touch with the Chesapeake Forest Alliance or me, Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and I will make sure that your information is transmitted to the proper people. And now I got to tell you one more time about Chesapeake Outdoors. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers right there on Ken Island exit 39B Dominion Road. That's what it is, 39B Dominion Road. And they have, for crabbing, crab pots and nets and traps and ready-to-go trot lines and trot line components and crab bait and crab seasoning and crab steamer, stainless steel steamers, the best in the country, licenses and ramp permits. They also have complete selection of fishing tackle, bows, arrows, and archer equipment, firearms and hunting supplies. They carry Grundon's boots, rain gear, and apparel if you want to look like a waterman, and extra tough fishing boots. Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, their own pretty cool-looking Chesapeake Outdoors T-shirt. You might want to pick up one of those. And much, much more. Right there again, Ken Island, Dominion Road exit 39B off Route 50, 410-604-2500. Expert advice. Expert advice, excellent service at Chesapeake Outdoors.
A little weak summertime cold front keeps seasonable numbers in our forecast here across Maryland. Talking highs in the upper 80s this afternoon and 63 tonight. We'll be up there again tomorrow. The 90s return early next week, Monday, Tuesday, with some isolated thunderstorms in the forecast, especially by Tuesday. A quarter to half inch of rainfall advertised for our Tuesday forecast coming up, but a mainly dry weekend here, just an isolated storm at most. I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie, more from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bed liners. Linex spray-on bed liners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bed liner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680 WCBM.
Are we stuck on George Jones there this week? Huh?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Glenn, Chestertown, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hi, and give some condolences for this.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, thanks. She was a good girl. Unfortunately,
she
we're out.
Like, they're part of the family.
That's right. That's right. So, yep.
All right. Don't tell Rob nothing. I don't know.
I will, Glenn.
Hear the music in the background.
Yeah, buddy. Unfortunately, right at the end of the hour. So, yep. Appreciate you. Appreciate you calling in, though. Nice to hear from you.
Bye.
Take care, Glenn. Bye-bye. Well, there is the music. That means we're at the end of the hour. Mike Malpese will be up next. Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the new fishing reefs and fishing opportunities on Chesapeake Bay and beyond with Mike. So looking forward to that. So we are. Thanks, Chris, for a good hour. You're going to stay with us, right?
Yeah, I will.
All right. All right, folks. Get out. Stay out. Stay safe.